All right, so let's just start right out. We're going to read the scripture this morning. We're in chapter 2, starting with verse 13, and I'm going to read the white and you read the yellow. For this reason, we also thank God without ceasing, which you heard from us, but as it is in truth, the word of God. Yeah, some good scripture there. Although it's all good, isn't it? I think I say that every week because every week I'm in studying it, I get to meditate on that and then try to bring it to you so you have a sense of what the scripture is about. So this morning, I really want to take the beginning thought of thanking God without ceasing, thanking God without stopping. You know, how is it that Paul can get beat, and I don't know who was with him at the time, Silas probably, and Luke, and so on, and they get beat and whipped, and then they have this thankful heart that just doesn't stop. And I think about us and how we don't have that hard time, and it's much harder for us to be thankful if everything isn't lined up in our life. Exactly, then somehow we're unthankful or thankless, however we want to be. And so I thought about this beatitude that actually isn't in the Bible, but it sounds like it. I'm going to read it to you. Blessed is he who expects no thanks, for he shall not be disappointed. Isn't that true? You know, and I wonder if that applies to God as well. Do we thank him in a way that... He's gratified. He feels good about it. And, you know, it's tough to do things in our life when there's no gratitude at all. No, isn't it? I want to think that myself, and maybe you feel exactly the same way, I want to think that we can do what we do, never hear thanksgiving, and still feel good. And yet, being thankful does encourage you and me and helps you and I to think that it gives us purpose and the effort is worth it because somebody just was nice enough to encourage us. And God has given the gift of encouragement to a lot of people, so I think he sees that goal. And it's great when we can stop and thank people for what they're doing and encouraging them. And I know it's got to be the same for you. Thankfulness is a huge key to contentment. It's a huge key to joy and peace in our connection with God. And the absence of it causes stress and struggle and loneliness and discouragement. You know, Jesus had the same problem in his ministry as he was walking towards Samaria from Galilee, his hometown. On the road, he met 10 lepers. And in Luke 7:13, it says this, and they lifted up their voice and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. So when he saw them, he said to them, go show yourself to the priests. And so was, as they went, they were cleansed. And here's the interesting thing about it. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. In other words, he was a northern Jew. He wasn't the southern Jew like most of the Jews around Jesus. And so Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Have you ever felt that way? Man. So was Jesus being a glory hog? Nah, I don't think so. But giving thanks and encouragement changes lives. And we need to give that encouragement. We need to receive encouragement. You know, I thought about this story. I used it back when we were in the Colossians passages. Such a good story. But one stormy night on Lake Michigan, and it was above Chicago. There's a theological school there. And about a mile out, a steamboat with a paddle wheel was hit T-boned by another boat. And within just minutes, this boat sank. It had 393 people on this boat, and 279 of them drowned. And a frail 26-year-old theological student from that school named Edward Spencer, after seeing the situation unfold from the shore, okay, dove into the lake. Now, this is winter and it's stormy. Dove into the lake and swam to the drowning people. And he towed one person at a time back to shore. And within 6 hours, he had saved 17 people and brought them to safety. And the problem was with the strain of swimming through that rough water and towing these people back, the nerves in his legs gave out, and he could never walk again. He became a paraplegic, and he was confined to the wheelchair for the rest of his life instead of going into the ministry like he would have. And towards the end of his life, someone asked him from a news group to relate his most vivid memory of that dreadful day. And he lowered his head and replied, "Not one of the 17 returned to thank me." Isn't that something? That's his most vivid memory. And it wasn't just Jesus with the lepers. It happens to so many of us. Because we haven't cultivated that thankful heart that God tells us to cultivate. You know, I remember years ago, and there's even a few people in here that were, helped. But years ago, we had a husband and wife that were coming into church, and they were very, very poor. And she was in a wheelchair, and he was trying to do everything he could, and his house was a wreck. I went over to his house. They were wrecked. So I gathered up a bunch of people. We went over there and fixed his house. I mean, we fixed subflooring. We fixed walls. We fixed everything. And put down carpet and all that kind of thing. And all the people with me were anteing up and contributing their money to get his place fixed. And, man, we really thought, boy, what an encouragement that should be to them, right? And I'm sure it was. And so mud, tape, sheetrock, hauling junk away out of their house. And when we got done, it was really pretty reasonably beautiful. And so the couple saw the opportunity to sell it, sold it, and left town without a word. And I was embarrassed. I was embarrassed for all the people to put that work into it, and all those that helped me with the project, their own money, their own time. And it was many days that we worked on them, and I thanked them over and over because of the absence of the gratitude that was almost too much to overcome. And it jaded me for a while. It jaded me from helping for a while for those in help. But yet, as I thought about it, it was a real lesson to me because I realized that I need to be thankful no matter what. It isn't just him that needs to be thankful, right, or his wife. I need to be thankful. And I know you have your own stories of the lack of gratitude and the things that you've done maybe for people or children or and you've met with the obtuse family that doesn't get it, and you walk away feeling not having been thanked or having been encouraged, and you've given and you've given. And I'm sure if I had you raise your hand, everybody would raise their hand because we've experienced those hard times. And it forces me to stop and think, how must God feel? Because we can give, oh, thank you, God, that's great. Thanks, you came through for me. Those kind of things. But what must God feel when we don't have a grateful heart? When we're not willing to give that thanks to people. And James says this, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights. And yet God receives very little gratitude. Turn with me to Colossians chapter 3, starting with verse 12. If you have your Bibles, it'll be up here. In this passage, Paul's telling us how to live as Christians and given us keys to a healthy Christian life. And he closes his thought with this: and be thankful. Let me just read it. But above all these things, and he's already been talking quite a while, but above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and what? Be thankful. And be thankful. He puts it on the same level as love. Put on love and be thankful. Means to acquire, and what the word means there is to acquire thankfulness. You know what? It doesn't come natural. Have you ever figured that out? No, we start out when we're babies, and are we thankful? No. And we start growing up, are we thankful? No. We get to adults, are we thankful? No. And somewhere along the line, we begin as Christians to think we've got to cultivate this sense of thankfulness. And I run into somebody every once in a while that is so good at it that it embarrasses me for me. Do you feel the same way? And they're going, oh, man, I'm so grateful. And it's usually people that are grateful that are having a hard time. Every good and perfect gift comes from above. You know, the Bible tells us over and over to be thankful. But we have this hard heart, resistant heart, because things have to be lined up perfect in our lives before we think we can be thankful. And that's just not true. That's a lie of Satan. It won't come natural. It has to simmer. We have to teach our hearts to be thankful. And Paul says this in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 3, but fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you as is fitting for saints, neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting. And we're pretty good at those things, right? But rather, what? Giving of thanks. Philippians 4, 6. Be anxious for nothing. Don't worry about anything, Paul says. Easy said, Paul. Right? Don't worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And people will tell me, frequently, you know, I've prayed about it, but I'm still worried. I've prayed about it, I'm still worried. And I ask him, well, did you do all the things in the verse? Yes, I made my request to him. Did you thank him? Oh, no, I forgot about that. 1 Timothy 2:1. Therefore, I exhort first of all, that all supplications, that means requests, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. We thank God for all men, all people. Now listen to this, and this is in our book, and I hit this when we first started this book in 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything, for this is the will, the desire of God in Christ Jesus for you. And when he says for you, the will of God in Christ Jesus for you, he's saying it's good for you. For your sake. Wow, it's the will of God for us. It's God's desire that we give thanks in everything. If God says it's his will, then it's the best thing for us, right? Why would he tell us to do something that's not good for us? And there's something in it even for us as well as for him. And something for you and I to think about this morning. So when we have that lack of thankfulness, and I don't know about how you feel, but I begin to feel miserable. And I'm pretty soon I'm thinking, why am I so miserable? Why am I so disconnected? Why am I, why? Oh, yeah, I forgot to thank God. I forgot to have a thankful heart. I forgot to cultivate that. Instead, I've been griping and blaming and whatever it may be, rather than thinking, thank you, God. I don't care what they do to me. I thank you. But instead, we kind of look to see who we can blame, right? We're victims. Let's just be honest. We're victims, right? Are we? Not really. Man, if you just pick up your shoes. You know, in that story about the fixing the house, I look back and, man, I don't blame them for a minute. It must have been embarrassing for them to have all these people come over and work on their house and they didn't know what to say. You know, it was a great time for them to move near where he worked. And my embarrassment resulted in feeling like it was worthless. It had no meaning at all. It wasted everybody's time. And I forgot to be thankful. And it wasn't a waste of time. It had great purpose because God was right there with us. And it's because we serve God, not man. We serve men, but have you ever noticed that when you serve people, you get burned out? When you serve God, you don't get burned out. It's when we put our focus on people because people will always destroy us. We serve God. So he says, therefore, I exhort, first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. One day I ran into him, years later. I was down in Cherry Creek, and all of a sudden he came, and he like ran over to me, gave me a hug, and he said, thank you. Thank you so much. He said, we got all caught up and moving, and my wife and I totally forgot. And he said, we are so sorry because we didn't thank you. He said, but thank you, thank you, thank you for all of the effort you put in to make our life richer. Oh, man, did I really feel bad then. Here's the moral of the story. If we lose or let go of our desire, our habit to maintain a heart of gratitude, we enter into an oppressive, uncomfortable life where nothing has meaning anymore. And we find ourselves cultivating a griping and complaining heart. Amen? Isn't that the way it is? And we lose our joy. We lose our thankfulness. And when you stop to think about the fact that God sent his son to die for us and save us, how could we not have a grateful heart? No matter what happened to us, and that's exactly what happened to Paul. That's exactly what happened to the other disciples that were with him. So I want to look at gratitude and a thankful heart and just talk about a few things that it produces. Thankfulness acknowledges that God is our provider. We are looking to him. Thankfulness prevents a complaining spirit. You can't complain when you have a grateful heart. It doesn't work. In fact, at times when I've been really good at cultivating my thankful heart and I start to complain, it almost feels funny. Thankfulness creates a positive outlook on life. Thanksgiving loses that negative outlook, and it's so easy to grab that negative outlook and talk about all the things that are going wrong in the world and politics, everything else, because we've lost our grateful heart. Thankfulness invites joy to dwell in our hearts. When we are thankful, joy invades our soul. And the other one I have is thankfulness eases hard times. It gives us a new perspective. If the habit of thankfulness to God is so valuable, it is certainly worth our while to consider. Amen? It won't happen without with inspiration or fad. It won't happen with you listening to me and going, yep, I need a grateful heart. Way to go, Steve. That's right. It ain't going to happen. It's only going to happen if you begin to pray and ask God to generate that grateful heart and continually thank God for everything in your life, good, bad, or indifferent. And it's God's will for you to do that. So on the back of your bulletin, you have a little section in there that you can write something down. I put, help me to be thankful. You write down what you want to put in there. And then tear that thing off and put it on your refrigerator or your dashboard or whatever so that you have a reminder that this week you want to start cultivating that thankful heart. Amen? Will you do that? Father, we come this morning.